that's what they need. They don't need a fancier car in the driveway. They need hearts that are humble and filled with love for Jesus Christ, for the reality of eternity. This is what is needed in our day. We don't need bigger barns. We need bigger hearts for Christ.
Hi, you've tuned in today to Live in the Light, and we are going verse by verse through the book of James. Today gets us right into James chapter 5 with a message called, ready for it? Wisdom Warnings for the Wealthy. Lots of language today on wisdom, and it's not the first time in this book that James has addressed the wealthy. Hey, Robbie, we've talked about this before, so why is James bringing up wealth again?
Yeah, great question, Shannon. So we're kind of going to poke the bear a little bit today, maybe. And what I mean by that is if there's one idol in the North American world that we are familiar with, it's the idol of money, wealth, greed, possessions, and whatnot. James, again, he's not afraid. He's definitely poking the bear. He comes right after, again, those who are holding to the world as their riches. And he's got some truth to throw down for those that are in this place. But he's trying to overall really encourage the church and even those who are suffering from injustice that they may continue to seek the Lord and to rely on him. But man, Shannon, this is such a needed message for the reasons I've already explained. I mean, our hearts so quickly wander and move off to the things of the world where worldliness and wealth and greed and money and blah, 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 all these things get in the way. And so God's word, open it up. Here we go. I personally get excited about such messages because I know how much we need it. I know how much we need to see our sin exposed and the reality to see Christ fill again the gap that is there. So again, some hard truth, but I pray some wonderful encouragement by the power of the Holy Spirit to your life right now, today. As always, if you're encouraged by this ministry, Live in the Light, our team would love, love, love to hear from you in one way or another. Please take the time today to do that, even after a difficult message in many ways. Excited, Shannon?
All right, me too. Here we go. Truth bombs for the church in wisdom warnings for the wealthy. So open your Bible with me, if you can, to James chapter 5, and we will dive right into today's message.
Okay, let's get our Bibles open to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and Lord willing, just to update you, we have three messages left in our series in James. Say Lord willing, because there's a chance it could be four, but we're planning on three right now. Every passage in the series has been so practical and also so powerful in its application. You know, as we've gone through on the book of James together too, one thing James has not lacked is the fear of man, or at least one thing he hasn't struggled with, I should say. He hasn't struggled with the fear of man. One thing he has not lacked is the fear of God. James is the opposite of tickling ears. Like, he's the opposite of that. And today is no exception. This is not your typical Mother's Day sermon, okay, just so you know, but it's here in front of us and we're going through it. And I am excited by it. It's interesting what James does today. He goes straight up with the rich. Like, again, he's done this previously in chapter 1, but he's going straight up with the wealthy again, and he doesn't hold back. He's very serious, like sobering with his language, serious with his warnings to the rich of his day, and of course, ours as well. These are very, very important passages. I will admit, right, like I'm looking at the text and I'm looking at the severity of the language in some cases, and I'm just like, wow, okay. You know, you're tempted to kind of be like, well, maybe I can, you know, do this or maybe, but I'm just like, no, at the end of the day, man, God's word is God's word. And it was interesting, even in my readings this morning in Numbers 23, it's the story of Balaam and Balak. And Balaam had his issues, but one of the things he did well was at the end of the day, he said several times, whatever the Lord gives to me is what I'm going to say. And I was so encouraged by that because that's where we are today too. Whatever's in front of us, we're going to say. And this is why today's message is so important too, because one of the greatest measurements of our spirituality is how we handle earthly riches. Like without a doubt, one of the greatest measurements of our spiritual maturity in Jesus Christ is how we view and how we handle earthly riches. Because why? Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Like, whatever we treasure is where our hearts are at. And that is the single greatest devastations of the world we live in. It's always been this way, and nothing has changed. The greatest enslavement in our day, and the Bible classifies this, we'll see this, is the obsession with earthly riches, self-indulgence, and luxurious living. In the end of the day, one of the main reasons when Christ comes to judge the world, luxurious living and self-indulgence is listed as the very top sins of judgment that is to come. So what does love do? Well, love doesn't pass over these things. If someone is destined to impending judgment because of a idolatry of the riches of the earth, you don't be like, oh yeah, you're good, don't worry, it's all gonna work out in the end. It's not gonna work out in the end. That's not what love does. Love says, brother, sister, or friend, I have to warn you of the danger of the path that you were on. And there's a greater way and a greater person. His name is Jesus Christ, who can set you free from the idolatry of this world. I'm getting too far down the text right now, so I got to just back up for a little bit. But so James here is speaking to non-believing wealthy landowners. They own large estates and had tremendous power. They hoarded great wealth. They exploited the workers that they employed. So this is who James is referring to as we start chapter five. These wealthy landowners, they hoarded great wealth. Again, their God was their money. Their treasure was the earth. And their hearts were filled with luxury and self-indulgence. So the question we have then, okay, so James is writing this letter to the church. Like, he's writing to believers. So why does he now speak in a way that is addressing unbelieving, very wealthy landowners? Here's why he's doing this. And this is for us today. Number one, do not envy the wealthy because their treasure is rotting. That's why he says this to the church. He's like, hey, church, don't envy the wealthy. Their treasure is rotting. Number two, he's like, know that God is coming with justice. Okay, so you might be being exploited. He's like, hey, listen, God is coming with justice. All injustices, all wrongs will be brought to justice. And then he says this to the church too, because listen, he's like, there's very, very significant principles of life wisdom for the rest of us. Massive principles of wisdom today for the lives that we live rooted in the treasure of Christ and therefore being able to let go of the world around us. So I'm sure you're eager to hear the text because there's a lot of build up to that. So James 5 verse 1, let's take a look at this together. And James says, come now, building off of the end of chapter 4, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Wow. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded and their, listen to this, their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. He says, you have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you, or they are not able to resist you. So, sermon title today is this: it's wisdom warnings for the wealthy. Warnings of tremendous seriousness and wisdom towards the rich and the wealthy. It takes us to point number one then on our outline today is this. Wisdom warning number one, the tragedy of trusting in earthly riches. The tragedy of trusting in earthly treasures or riches. So look at verse one again. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. While your riches have rotted, your garments are moth-eaten, the text says. Now, again, we must be aware of these extremely important verses in our lives. Like, today is a tremendously important call for wisdom, because as we've said already, one of the greatest idols and deceptions within our society is a trust and love of riches. Like, already right now, There are many of us already being kind of pierced by the Holy Spirit. We're already being convicted because this is our thing. This is our distraction. This is our idol. This is our main pursuit of life. And so the Holy Spirit's already begun because this is so pervasive within our society. See, that is why Jesus taught on money more than heaven and hell combined. This is why, like, we always remember that, because again, he knows the state of the heart is the state of the life. And the single greatest obstacle or temptation for our heart to go sour is this love and lust for earthly treasure and for earthly riches. It has brought so many people down to their own destruction from the beginning of time. The love of money, the obsession of material possessions, again, is one of the leading causes of spiritual heart disease. Why? Because it deceives, it distracts, and money will never, or riches by itself, will never be able to deliver us, ever. This is what James is going after here. This is what James is so passionate about. Now, as we go through this, okay, as we've said many times before, as many, many passages on money or earthly riches, loved ones, listen to this, okay, be careful. Money's not the problem in itself. Money itself is neutral. It's the love of money. It's the trust in money. It's the worship of money. It's the making money my God, my only goal in it. That's the problem. Money can be used. Riches can be used for good and for the kingdom. It's when we love and trust and worship it. That's exactly what's happened here in the context of James 5. So there's very strong language in verse 1 that the rich, notice, are to weep and howl at the miseries that are coming upon them. So weep and howl. It's so interesting. Like even this morning, part of my readings as I woke up, Isaiah 11, it's weep again for the coming judgment of the Lord. So the Old Testament often uses weep and howl to refer to the wailing that takes place when the Lord comes in his day of the Lord in judgment and the people see him and recognize, wow, we're in trouble. And this is what James is building off of right here. 100% he's speaking of judgment to come. I referenced this briefly already, but in Revelation 18, when it comes to the overall, this is the end of the world, the return of Christ, and the judgment and the absolute eternal condemnation of the Babylonic system of the world, that whole framework, the text says the people will weep and wail over the destruction of Babylon, right? So just think about our society. When we obsess and worship and adore earthly riches and pride and possessions and money, when that is brought to nothing, that's why business execs jump from the 21st floor to their death. Because it's all they live for. So when Christ returns, and the entire Babylonic worldly satanic system crumbles, and that's what you put all your eggs in that basket, you will weep and wail. You will cry out in anguish because everything you live for has been brought to nothing in a moment. That's why James is like, man, you weep and wail because the miseries that are coming, if all you're living for is this world and stuff and money and self and possessions. You know, as it's been said, right? There will be no U-Hauls attached to the rich person's hearses, right? That's never happened and that won't happen. That is impossible. What is the source of such weeping and wailing? Look at verses 2 and 3 now. Notice, your riches have rotted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Wow. So their earthly riches have rotted. Their fancy clothes are moth-eaten. Their gold and silver are corroded. And then look at this, church. Look at this, okay? This is, again, sobering. The hoarding of their earthly stuff is in reality in the end, and its corrosion, its inability to last, is actually gathered as evidence to what they have placed their hope in. Wow. So that really hit me this week, right? Like what we hope in, we are gathering evidence for what we believe in. Those who accumulate and unnecessarily or excessively hoard wealth, riches for self-purposes, really what you're hoarding is evidence against us for the day of judgment. That's sobering. By the way, some of us are tempted right now. Like we're like, you know, in Canada, we're like, well, I know lots of people way wealthier than me. I mean, you got to be really careful about that, man, because we've never lived in a more prosperous time in the history of the world. Like you could argue that as a nation. And in this continent we give, and every single one of us, I know that some have more than others, but the reality is when you relatively compare it with the history of the world, you and I, in fact, we're sitting here in this building right now and you drove in the car that you did, whatever it is, and you have the home. I mean, we are exceptionally well off. So all of us need to just take a time out. And before we start looking at other people, like, yeah, they got the problem. We got to zerk in our horns right now and just be like, man, what am I hoping in? What is the evidence that I'm gathering around me on a daily basis? Because this is incredibly important. Again, James is severe in his language, but listen, he's not exaggerating. He says, this evidence will eat your flesh like fire. I'm like, wow, yikes. So this is a huge, huge moment of wisdom. See what he's saying here? Okay, and this is so key. The same wealth and riches that brought so much ease and comfort and alleviation from suffering in this world, for all the rich that use wealth and hoarding of money for comfort and ease and luxury and just these lavish lifestyles, what he's saying is it's this same wealth that is actually going to turn and be used as judgment against the hoarding heart in the end that's going to create such eternal pain and misery and anguish. So isn't that a wisdom moment? The money and riches we obsess over to ease our pain, if we're not true in our hearts with where we're at, will actually in the end be used to bring a pain that you and I never want to experience. See, that's what the world doesn't understand. And we need to share Christ that they would understand that you don't have to live for the possessions of this world. And the money of this world will do nothing. It just, in the end, it's rotting and corroding, and the fancy clothes we have will be moth-eaten. There's a better way. There's a better person. There's a freedom. There's a love. There's a hope. There's a grace. There's a forgiveness. His name is Jesus Christ. So we don't live as though our possessions define us. We live because our greatest treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that is where it becomes so powerful. So some huge takeaways from our text so far. We have some explicit warnings in our text, okay? So here are the explicit warnings right there. In James 5, 1 to 3, earthly riches are guaranteed to fail, 100% guaranteed to fail, right? So wisdom says, well, then I should not place my life and hope in that. I agree. Yes, well done, well done. Right? You should not live for that which is going to fail. That would be dumb. Let's not be dumb. Amen? Secondly, excessive accumulation is evidence against us. Now, the hard part is, what's excessive accumulation? That's, again, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful check. Again, generosity is a very, very, very powerful thing. It's so necessary in the life of a Christ follower. This is key. The hoarding of wealth is twofold sinful. When we hoard wealth and the world hoards wealth, number one, it's our priorities are wrong because that's not what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to be as generous as we can possibly be. And then when we hoard wealth, that means we're depriving others of certain blessings. And this is the explicit warnings that James is giving to us again in this text and telling to the church, this is what's happening out in the world. We can never be these people. Now, the implicit wisdom now here is this, right? Within the text. So the wisdom says, don't trust in earthly riches. Amen. Don't hoard wealth. Hold riches loosely. And this is so key. This is so key. This is what Christ wants for all of us so much. We have to live with a radical generosity. Generosity is the antidote. Generosity is what works against all of this. The greatest single thing we can do is to live with hands open, hold loosely, and to live with generosity because it shows where our hearts then are truly at, okay? So again, let me remind you, money itself is not evil. It's our attitude towards it. Let me say this too, okay? Wealthy believers in Christ, you, we, us, have a special entrustment of stewardship before God. Those who have been given much, much is expected and required. Okay? Those who have been entrusted with a special sense or special, again, stewardship of earthly riches and wealth, you have been given a special stewardship from the Lord. Steward wisely. This is how the kingdom so often is so blessed with hearts that hold it loosely and are used of the Lord. If you look at verse 3 now again, James says, you have laid up treasure in the last days. This is not referring to their comfy retirement, okay? You have a nice nest egg. It's not what he's saying. This is referring to their judgment, right? You have spent all your time and energy laying up treasure, but the last day's judgment is coming, and then it's all gonna end up to being valued at zero. So notice here again, the New Testament, our eschatology defines our worldview. What's eschatology? Our eschatology is our view of the end times. Last things. Our eschatology really defines how we live. What we think is going to happen in the end, we reverse it back and it leads us how we live. Our eschatology defines our worldview. Our eschatology, church, must define our treasure, right? When we believe that in the end times, our eschatology, Christ is returning, and the only thing that matters at that point is our love for Christ, well, then why would we live for that which rots and rusts? Right? That doesn't make any sense. So our view of how the world's going to end impacts how we live here and now. And what is this? This is just the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the power of living for Christ. Because Christ is the ultimate treasure, we don't have to live for the things of the earth. We get to live for Christ, right? It's like there's so many verses and parables on this. One of the ones Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12 was the story of the rich man who got all this wealth and he built bigger barns. And he's like, oh, I'm going to store all my stuff. I'm going to sit back and say, I'm going to, you know, just drink and eat and be merry and everything's going to be good. And God says to him, you fool. He says that in the text, you fool. This day your soul's required of you and the things that you've stored, whose will they now be? Not yours. You're like, you dummy. You live for the very things you shouldn't have. It's right there in scripture. We don't need bigger barns, church. We need bigger hearts. We don't need more stuff. We need more passion for Jesus Christ. We don't need more hoarding. We need more hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. This is who God blesses. Let me say it again. In a world where there's like all-time records being set of storage sheds all across the city and everywhere we live, we don't need bigger barns. We need bigger hearts. Okay, listen, your children do not need another barn. Your children need a mom and dad who love Christ, have a passion for the Lord, have a sense of sacrifice and adoration and humility and worshiping Christ. They don't need another gadget. They need to walk in and catch their dad praying on his knees to Jesus. That's what they need. They don't need a fancier car in the driveway. They need hearts that are humble and filled with love for Jesus Christ, for the reality of eternity. This is what is needed in our day. We don't need bigger barns. We need bigger hearts for Christ. Listen to what Matthew Henry said on these lines too. I saw this quote this week. I love it. He says, man takes great pains to heap up riches. And they're like heaps of manure in the furrows of the field, good for nothing unless they be spread. That's so true, eh? Riches, heaps of riches are like piles of manure sitting on our driveway. Woo, stinks. But you spread those riches for the kingdom of God, and then, man, the fertilization for life change. That goes on. Again, I don't have to apply this in any other level right now than what you're getting. I mean, you understand what James and the Holy Spirit is saying. The tragedy of trusting in earthly treasures. God, help us to free. I know it's tough, man, trust me. I know the world that we live in. I know my own heart. Point number two is this. The judge will deal with all injustice. So we just say what the Bible says. So right here in verse 4, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. So interesting, Ace. Now what James does, he's comforting the poor believers in the church. He's comforting those who have been defrauded, exploited, or cheated. James really, really wants them to know that God hears and God sees all things. So the massive warning for the rich who are defrauding others is, here's the massive warning for the rich defrauding others. There's nothing the Lord doesn't see. There's nothing the Lord doesn't see. And the massive comfort for the poor believers being cheated is there's nothing the Lord doesn't see. There's a huge warning and there's a wonderful comfort being given. So this is the exceptional power of this theology for us, right? To be reminded that justice is coming. All injustices will be dealt with 100%. Every child that has been used and abused, justice is 100% coming. Every act of evil that has cheated the poor for the pride of the rich, justice is 100% coming. Every scheme of fraud, every cruelty of power, every exploitation of poor believers, justice is 100% coming. Notice in verse 4 the phrase, the Lord of hosts. The transliteration of the Hebrew there is the word army in English. So what that means is that the Lord is coming with his army. He's coming. And when he comes, he's going to come and bring justice. So this, like for James, he's like, listen, you might be exploited now. The time will come. This injustice will be made right. He's like, and like the text that follows for next week, he's like, that's why I need to be patient. Be patient, man, because the time is coming. Like the Lord is going to come and bring justice. Loved ones, right now, maybe this applies to you in some form, in some way, and you're sensing a level of injustice all around you. God says to you today, God says, listen, he goes like, hey, loved ones. He says, listen, I see and I'm taking notes. And not just am I taking notes, I'm gonna return and I'm gonna deal with every act of evil. No one, again, who's not saved in Jesus Christ is gonna get away with the evil that has come against those, again, they have exploited or defrauded or have abused, and in some cases killed, as our text will say in just a second as well. So again, our eschatology is so powerful, right? Here it means we don't have to seek vengeance. Why? God's got it. I know that's hard, eh? Because in our flesh, we want to, you know, our world right now, there's a, you know, such a sense, again, of we need to do it. We need to make it. And in some cases, again, I totally get that, appreciate that, and that's right. But in the end, all injustices will be dealt with. And the Lord says, listen, he says, vengeance is mine. That gives us tremendous comfort as believers. God's like, I hear all, I see all, I know all. Our job is to be patient. Just a little preview for next week. Look at verse 7, okay? Look at verse 7. Won't get into this too much, but I just want you to see. He says, be patient therefore, brothers, sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. Lane Rains, look at verse 8. You also be patient. So patient three times. Think he wants us to be patient? Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. See, there you go. Establish your hearts. Get your heart in a place of steadfastness because God's coming. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, that you may not be judged. Look, behold, the judge is standing at the door. What a phrase. The judge is standing at the door. He's coming to bring justice. Like, don't you worry. It's going to happen. Our job is to love him, be faithful to him, worship him, and be patient. He's going to deal with it. Let me just say this too. Speaking again, the context to unbelieving, very rich landowners abusing the workers underneath them. But let's just bring it down to our application for a bit too. Business owners here, employers here, to all those in the financial industry here, really everyone in business here, and in some ways to all of us.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.